Okay, today we're going to be in Luke chapter 9. Very familiar passage of scripture coming from Jesus. But Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27, that's found on page 842 in our Pew Bibles. But if you're in your Bible or on a device, then it will be in Luke chapter 9. I invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of our gospel lesson this morning. Then he said to them all, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of all the holy angels. But truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Not a very comforting passage, is it? We want to think of Jesus as always making us feel warm and fuzzy inside, and then he comes and he says these three things: if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, you have to carry your cross, and then you have to follow me, which means going where he goes. So this week, I really started looking at some of these things, and I looked up, y'all know I like definitions, so I looked up the actual definition of what it means or the biblical definition of what it means to deny yourself. It says to refuse to admit the existence of your personal will. So we're not called to deny ourselves because we're not important or we're not special. But we're called to deny the authority of our will over God's will. But then Jesus gets a little more radical and he says, you got to take up your cross and follow me. Well, to us, we're used to that. But in the context in which he said that, that would have been the most radical thing he could have told that group of people. Here they are, and to them, that was the method of execution: torture, torment, punishment. And he's saying, you got to take up your cross. Every single day, you have to take up your cross. Kyle Alderman, in his book, Not a Fan, says this about the cross. He says, what should the cross be? A symbol of torture to us as followers of Jesus. He says, no. The cross that represents defeat for a follower of Christ is the image of victory. The cross that represents guilt and shame for a follower of Christ, it is the image of grace. The cross that represents condemnation for a follower of Christ is the image of freedom. The cross represents pain and suffering, but for a follower of Christ, it is the image of healing and eternal hope. The cross that represents death for a follower of Christ is the image of life. And while the cross may not be attractive for a follower of Christ, it is beautiful. So there's a story that came out of the Church of the Holy Cross in Midtown Manhattan. And they had this 200-pound plaster rendering of Jesus on the cross. Somebody broke into the church and stole Jesus. But people weren't really concerned that he stole Jesus. What perplexed the people, and a news reporter asked the pastor there, said, why do you think they stole the plaster Jesus but left the cross? Now the image isn't together. And the pastor said these words: maybe the cross was too much to carry. Maybe they just wanted Jesus. I don't know, but I think we are all a lot like that in our lives and in our churches. So many times in our life and the discipleship that we're called to, when it comes to denying ourselves and carrying a cross, we want Jesus the Savior, but you can keep the cross. We want all the benefits of Christ and His blood and His suffering and His death and His resurrection, as long as it comes with no sacrifice on our behalf. John Wesley, when writing about this verse, said this: "Let him deny himself and take up his cross. The necessity of his duty has been shown in many places. The extent of it is specified here. It's daily. Therefore, that day is lost wherein no cross is taken up." That day is lost where no cross is taken up. I don't know about you, but growing up, I had this image that once I became committed to Christ and I went to church, that good things would start happening to me and the bad things would stop. Anybody ever thought like that before or heard that before? Has it ever come true for anybody? Doesn't work that way, does it? Bad things don't stop happening to us because we're committed to Christ. But the pain and the hopelessness does go away. So Jesus says, after you do those things, you have to follow me. It's tough sometimes because Jesus takes us to places we're uncomfortable. He puts us face to face with people we're called to love that we don't really want to love. Says it's not just saying no to you, it's forgetting that your will exists because your heart is solely devoted to Christ. We die to our own desires, our own wills, our own wants, our own temptations, our own way of doing our lives. In the Greek, the word that Luke uses is actually a present tense verb. So by using the present tense, what Luke is saying is not follow me, but go on following me. Every day, follow me. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing, active process of following Christ daily. So this week I've been pondering this, and it's really bothered me. It's really bothered me because what I did is I stopped and I evaluated my life. And I evaluated my walk with Christ as a pastor, as a seminary student, as a son, a brother, a husband, a friend, a dad, but most importantly, as a disciple of Jesus. And I asked myself this question: how am I doing? How am I doing in my walk with Christ? Because my fear is that sometimes as individuals and as a body of Christ, you can get comfortable and want the Savior but not the cross. And Jesus tells us you can't have it that way. So I want you to ask yourself some of these questions that I've been pondering this week. When was the last time being a dedicated follower of Christ cost you something in your life? Something more than getting out of bed at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning and suffering through another boring sermon with corny jokes. When was the last time you truly denied yourself? See, we live in a society that says gain all you can and forget everybody else. If you get knocked down, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you move on. Put your big girl pants on and get over it. That's another one I've been told. But we're called to deny ourselves, to deny the actions that don't line up with the gospel in our lives, to deny the way that we want to live versus the way we're called to live, to deny sometimes possessions and material goods because it takes away from the money that we have set aside to give to the church or to the missions of Christ. When is the last time that your walk with Christ truly involved a cost and a denial on your behalf? And yes, I'm aware it's uncomfortable. What are you as an individual, what am I as an individual doing as a continuous process of becoming more like Jesus in my daily life? That's what he's talking about. That's what it really, if we're getting practical with it, what are we doing? Coming to church for an hour a week and then trying to be a good person Monday through Saturday doesn't work, especially not during football season when your team loses and half the church is covered with the enemy's colors. But it just doesn't work. Our walk with Christ, our lives are too complicated. They're too hard to rely on just 1 hour of worship a week. This comes out of Kyle Ottoman's book, Not a Fan, that I referenced earlier. It says there's no comfortable way to carry a cross. I don't care how you position it, it's not comfortable. I often talk to people who are convinced that some suffering or pain in their life is an indication that they must not be following Jesus correctly. After all, if they are following Jesus, the Son of God, doesn't it follow that things in life are going to unfold smoothly? There is this junk theology floating around out there that points to difficulties as evidence that you have not been following Jesus. But the biblical reality is that when people say yes to following Jesus, they are agreeing to carrying a cross, and that will be painful at times. When's the last time following Jesus caused you to deny yourself or carry a cross? I found this week and I thought it was so fitting. It says, if following Jesus became illegal where you live, would there be enough evidence to convict you of a crime? Now, I can't speak for y'all, but I'm an expert in detective shows. So I'm like part police. But those detectives get in every part of your life. Those of you that watch those shows, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, they come up with stuff and they'll figure out what you had to eat last Tuesday at 11 o'clock and you forgot. And they're like, no, there was spinach on the floor. So you had a salad. So think about it. If it became illegal to follow Jesus in our country, and the detectives were out to arrest all of us that claimed to follow Christ, and they got in every little piece of your life, from the time you get up on Monday to the time you go to bed on Sunday, would there be enough evidence to convict you as a disciple of Jesus? There's only two answers. There's either yes or there's no. There is no middle. There is no maybe. It's a yes or a no. There's a song out right now by the Newsboys called Guilty. And it says these words: if serving you is against the law of man, if living out my faith in you was banned, then I'll stand right before the jury. If saying I believe is out of line, if I am judged because I'm going to give my life to show the world the love that fills me, then I want to be guilty. I'll rise up and honor you. I'll testify to the good you do, because your grace and your mercy have overtaken me. I want to be guilty by association, guilty of being a voice proclaiming your ways, your truth, and your life. I'll pay the price to be your light. It should break our hearts as Christians that there is a hurting and a broken world that needs the light of Christ, and not so many people willing to be guilty. As men especially, but ladies, some of y'all too, but we get this persona that we can't admit what's wrong with us. That if we'll just hide and we'll just lie about the troubles and the temptations and the sin in our lives, they'll go away. Or I'll just hide them forever and nobody will ever find out. But what the cross says is lay them down and be set free. Be guilty. Be guilty of following and being the light of Christ. But too many times we don't want to show the weakness. We want to hold on. But what the world needs, what our heart needs, what our children needs, what this church needs, what our families, our spouses, our friends, this world, is it needs a group of wonderful people just like y'all to say, I'll be guilty. Let's pray.